KALW.
From KALW News in San Francisco, this is Cross Currents. Context, culture, and connection from around the Bay Area.
Hi, I'm from North Beach.
I'm from Pacific Heights.
I live at 24th and Valencia.
I live in the Outer Sunset by the beach.
Coming up, how one Bay Area school district is offering families extra support so kids get to school on time every day.
I am Joanna Garcia Solorio, and I have earned 4 years of perfect attendance.
The only way each and every one of our young people can be empowered is by being on time.
The effort to reduce chronic absenteeism. Then we'll hear the story behind this week's Audiograph Mystery Sound.
I'm 19 years old, and this guitar is 1 year younger than my dad, which is pretty gnarly.
That's coming up. Cross Currents is next. Stick around. There's a shift happening in schools across the country. Instead of punishing kids for skipping class without an excuse, schools are looking to find out why they're absent. Research shows that missing 10% or more of the school year really sets students back academically. And schools are finding that when they dig into chronic absenteeism, they often learn about deeper problems impacting students, like illness, family crisis, or homelessness. About 40 miles east of San Francisco, the Pittsburgh Unified School District uses data on chronic absentees to educate families about the importance of attendance and to offer them all kinds of support to help kids get to school on time each day. And it seems to be working. KALW's education reporter, Lee Romney, tells us how this Contra Costa County suburb does it.
My name is Alexis Gail Mussolina, and I got 3 years of perfect attendance.
I'm inside a cavernous auditorium where the Pittsburgh Unified School District is celebrating more than 250 students. Not a single one of them has missed school or even shown up late to class for at least a year.
I am Joanna Garcia Solorio, and I have earned 4 years of perfect attendance.
After all the applause and onstage kudos, families mingle in the lobby, snapping pictures of their kids in front of a giant wooden statue of a pirate, the high school's mascot.
Geronimo Silva.
Here's one father of three girls. Two of them are wearing lace dresses.
Evelyn Silva, 7 años.
The eldest has had 7 years of perfect attendance, four for the middle one, and one for little Daisy.
La chiquita.
Sí, la chiquita.
Getting them to school is tricky for Jeronimo's wife.
Las tres las lleva tres diferentes escuelas. Para mí es difícil también porque pues no puedo acompañarlas a la escuela.
She has to take the girls to three different schools, and Jeronimo can't help because he leaves the house at 5 a.m. to work two jobs and doesn't get home until 10 p.m.
Hoy para mí es un día muy especial.
But today is a very special day, so he asked permission to get off work so he could be here for his daughters. He's very, very proud.
Muy, muy orgulloso.
Like the Silvas, many of the district's families face challenges. Nearly three-fourths of the students receive free or reduced lunch. Nearly a third are English learners. Plenty of parents lack transportation. Rejoice Fraser Myers has led the district's push to reduce absenteeism. She just got done handing out certificates to all those scholars with perfect attendance.
This community is a community that's stereotyped as not being successful because of the population.
Fraser Myers was raised in San Francisco's Bayview Hunters Point and later returned with a PhD to start a school there. She came here to Pittsburgh, she says, because she believes in its extremely high potential.
My mission is education is power. And the only way each and every one of our young people can be empowered is by being on time every day so that they can acquire all the necessary skills to be successful.
When a new superintendent joined the district 3 years ago, a lot more resources flowed to improving attendance. Parent liaisons at every school now track student absences and tardies in real time and reach out to families that are starting to slip. They ask, what's going on at home, and offer help. Pittsburgh Unified even won a state award for its work earlier this year.
Mucho gusto.
This is Lourdes Flores. She's the grandmother and legal guardian of Rodolfo Gutierrez, a shy, round-faced 8-year-old with a soft buzz cut and, until pretty recently, a huge aversion to getting up in the morning.
Si nos atrasamos en llegar más tarde y más tarde.
Lourdes says they started arriving later and later, and Rodolfo was always angry. I don't like it. I don't want to go. It was always like that. She says she had to get him up by force, practically pull him out of bed.
Sí, así era. Tenía uno que llevarlo a fuerzas, casi, sacándolo y ándale y no, y así.
Rodolfo's school, Marina Vista Elementary, first noticed he was having some trouble getting there on time nearly 2 years ago, when he was in first grade. So the school started their interventions. Principal Kirsten Wallenweber-Portis says the school invites parents of kids who are showing early signs of attendance problems to a meeting.
When they attend, we actually have a folder put together with their students' data.
Comparing their child's attendance and academics with the district, state, and nation.
So showing them how many absences they have and then where they are academically, especially with their reading.
Because there's a huge correlation. Research shows that absences, for any reason, are really strong indicators of future academic troubles. Missing at least 10% of the school year reduces the likelihood that students will be able to read by third grade and increases the likelihood that students will drop out in high school. And there are disproportionately higher rates of chronic absenteeism among students living in poverty, most students of color, and students with disabilities. But Rodolfo's grandmother, Lourdes Flores, didn't make it to the school's group parent meeting. And a one-on-one at the principal's office didn't improve Rodolfo's attendance. So the school went to them.
So then we did a home visit and went to go speak with her and Rodolfo about, you know, what was going on, offering support strategies for getting him here on time.
A home visit. She was there. So was the school's parent liaison and one of the school district's child welfare and attendance workers. They found out Flores had injured her foot and couldn't drive. She was overwhelmed at home with Rodolfo and his little sister, who she's also raising. Flores tells me she really tried to turn things around, but Rodolfo kept fighting her.
Y hasta que nos llegó el papel y tuvimos que ir al distrito.
Until last spring, when she and Rodolfo were summoned before the district's Student Attendance Review Board and asked what kind of help they needed. All school districts have those boards because state law required them starting in 1975. They're known as SARBs. The State Department of Education recognized Pittsburgh for having a really effective one, one that offers a lot of support to students and families, and for pushing the attendance message and flagging trouble early on.
We want to talk to you early enough that this pattern doesn't get started.
It's a fall afternoon at Pittsburgh Unified SARB. Twice a month, parents and students come in to sit with district and school officials and with community members, faith leaders, business owners, mental health counselors, representatives from after-school programs. They all come here to help solve whatever problem is keeping a student out of school.
I'm Jill Stewart with Lincoln, a service provider.
Jared Neal, child worker, tennis
shoe. A prosecutor sits on all the SARBs in Contra Costa County.
Good afternoon, Laura Dallahan, Deputy District Attorney. Nice to meet you. Thanks.
And she will take cases to a special court if all else fails. But Rejoice Fraser Myers, who heads the district's attendance efforts, says that's really rare.
Going to court, that's our last resort. And then when we go to court, the court gives resources.
One mom explains that her son missed 20 days of kindergarten last spring because she was working a graveyard shift in San Francisco.
Process of moving to Pittsburgh because I'm from San Francisco.
Okay. And this fall, he had the flu. Board members tell her kindergarten and first grade are crucial.
But the reality is that's probably when our kids learn the most important skills, like the reading, the writing, the foundation that they need.
She agrees to take a parenting class and make getting her little boy to school her top priority. Next up is a fifth grader who missed 6 weeks of school last year and 9 days so far this fall and logged dozens of tardies. The board learns he was severely burned and is struggling with incontinence.
He almost lost his life.
Here's his grandma.
Sometimes he'll get dressed and everything, and then he would have a an accident and we have to wrap him all over again.
He's also being bullied at school. The board arranges for a medical plan that will alert a team to the student's situation. Pittsburgh Unified contracts with Lincoln Families, which provides behavioral health supports. So one of the counselors at the table says she'll arrange a home visit. The boy and his grandmother both sign a contract, agreeing to the interventions and pledging to get him there on time. Last spring, Lourdes Flores and her grandson Rodolfo signed contracts too. She agreed to go to parenting classes and says they helped her learn how to reward Rodolfo for good behavior. Rodolfo pledged to start getting up on time and dressing and bathing himself. The consequences if he didn't? I told him, listen, it's the parents who go to jail, so in our case, it's going to be me, because I'm in charge of you. So, do you want to see your grandmother in jail? No. So what are we going to do about it? What Rodolfo did was step up his game. I show up at his house at 7:20 one morning, and he's already dressed. He grabs his backpack from the closet. He's not a big talker.
Are you proud of yourself?
Yes.
Has it been kind of hard?
Yes.
How come?
Because sometimes I don't wake up early.
Rodolfo's mom, Mirna Garcia, has come and gone over the years, but for the past 6 months, she's been living at home, helping with the kids. She's impressed with the district's heavy emphasis on attendance. She's 26 now, and she attended Pittsburgh schools too.
It was not like that at all. It was way different when I was going to school. And I feel like he's been learning more now that he's not missing school so much.
Rodolfo's ordeal has also inspired her.
I didn't finish school. I still need to, so I could be able to be like, you know what, I finished school, so that he would have to, you know? There's no excuse.
It's her turn to take Rodolfo to school. We pile in the minivan. And Rodolfo gets to Marina Vista 15 minutes early. In the hallway, there are posters about the importance of showing up. A sandwich board near the principal's office changes each day to show which classes had perfect attendance. They get a letter, and when they spell out Marina Vista, they get a party. Rodolfo heads to the cafeteria, which is buzzing with kids. The district schools provide free breakfast for all, another incentive to come to school on time. When he gets to class, his teacher is pleased.
All right. Who's not here? Oh, that's the kids from yesterday. And I saw Candace. Yes, everyone's here.
Yes.
Okay, we're gonna do our spelling check. We didn't get a chance last week.
Rodolfo's right there with her, with his hand up.
So we're gonna review the pattern real quick.
So with all these efforts, how is Pittsburgh Unified doing? Calculating the rate of chronic absenteeism is kind of complicated. The district's data shows that rate went down 2.3% over the past 3 years. That may not sound like a lot, but the state official who gave them that award last spring says they're doing all the right things. And for a high-poverty district, that rate reduction is good. He says addressing the root causes of chronic absence is like turning a big ship around, one student at a time. Rodolfo's had no absences this year. That's down from more than three dozen in first grade. Here's Wallen Weber Portis, his principal.
I'm excited for him and excited for Grandma, because I know she's been stressed about it.
She tells me she plans to honor Rodolfo soon at an awards assembly with a special certificate and a medal for most improved attendance. And if Rodolfo keeps it up, he and Grandma will both be honored at an ice cream social in the spring. And maybe in a year, Rodolfo will be here.
My name is Jorge. I have one year of perfect attendance.
In Pittsburgh, I'm Lee Romney for Cross Currents.
Last week, California's Department of Education released chronic absenteeism data for the first time. You can find the link to your district's data on our website, kalw.org. Click Cross Currents.
Thank you.
You're listening to Cross Currents from KLW News. I'm Hena Baba. And now it's time for Audiograph, the Bay Area's sonic signature. Here's KLW's Nina Gensler-Debs.
All week long, we've been playing you this sound.
I'm 19 years old, and this guitar is 1 year younger than my dad, which is pretty gnarly.
This is a die grinder. It's what I used to carve necks with.
We need a bigger space, but it just wouldn't be right if we moved anywhere else but where we are.
When Metallica, the Rolling Stones, or other big rock bands are in the Bay Area and they need their guitars fixed, there's a good chance you can find them at 15 Lafayette Street in San Francisco. That's where you'll find a constellation of five shops crammed into one building, the oldest of which has been running for more than 30 years. We sent KALW's Truk Nguyen to check out this little alley filled with big sounds.
I'm standing in front of 15 Lafayette Street with Jesse Cobb, who basically grew up here.
It's a very nondescript building on a rather isolated, dirty street.
Jesse's dad, Chris Cobb, owns a part of this little guitar kingdom. Go in.
And the first thing you walk into is real guitars.
It's the oldest vintage guitar shop in the city, open since February 1986. Jammed with instruments made decades ago, it's got so much character, Woody Allen filmed a scene from Blue Jasmine here.
You know, we need a bigger space, but it just wouldn't be right if we moved anywhere else but where we are.
Cobb says it's the kind of shop he went to as a teenager in the 70s. We maneuver past stacks of amplifiers. Cobb picks up an acoustic guitar called the National Tricone.
It's an acoustic guitar, but one of the big differences is the body is completely made of metal, you know, and it has these little cones in it that are called resonators, and they make it loud. There's like no amplifier, and I'm not going to play anything right now, but...
Back before amplification, the resonator guitar was used to cut through the rest of the band.
So these Delta Blues guys got a hold of these guitars, and then they'd use something like a glass or metal slide, and they found you could get this.
You'll pay $2,200 for the 17-year-old metal resonator. Next, Cobb shows me a Les Paul SG made nearly 60 years ago.
Basically, you're paying a whole lot of money to buy wood from 1961 because just about everything's been replaced on it. But you can't get anything like that anymore. The wood supply in the world is just not that way.
The shop is full of music history lessons. Celebrities like Carlos Santana come in and know they can keep a low profile. But it's also a place for newcomers.
I'm Mason Mejia. I'm 19 years old. I got a 1965 Epiphone Cortez. And it's the Sunburst version. And this guitar is 1 year younger than my dad, which is pretty gnarly.
Would you mind playing it a little bit for us?
Yeah, 100%.
Mejia found the place by accident on his way to one of the larger corporate shops in town. Real Guitar's co-owner, Ben Levin, says unlike other shops, this place is like a community center.
People just come by and talk politics and movies and TV with us and just hang out.
Cruise past the guitars, a few basses and ukuleles, and you'll find the Gary Brower Repair Shop. Famous musicians trust the people back here to modify and repair their instruments. And some folks working behind the counters are also celebrities themselves. Fernie Rod of the glam rock metal band Jet Boy is just one of them.
And that was the riff for Feel the Shake.
Could you tell me what you do here?
Well, when they let me out of my cell, I work here at Gary Brower's, the shop manager. And what we do is we make sure that guitars are fixed and basses are fixed so people can go out and make music and have fun.
The five businesses here complement one another. Brower himself takes me back into the guitar building area.
This is Dan Ransom. He's been here for
30 years with us. He builds guitars. What I like to say is people show up with a napkin with a drawing on it and go, here, make this.
So this is a die grinder. It's what I used to carve necks with. This is the throatier, put it in musical terms, hand sander. And most of the people I've built for, old school San Franciscan bands, Airplane, The Dead, Joe Satriani, not so old school, I build mainly for just local guys.
How long does it take to build a custom guitar?
Yes, that's a secret.
Way too long. Where if you actually took the hours and the amount of money you were getting paid, I'm pretty sure you'd be really depressed and find another job.
What does keep Brower from finding another job then? Satisfaction. Nights backstage with the Rolling Stones and days like this.
One day, Willie Nelson's guitar, the acoustic guitar with the big hole in it, appeared here for him to work on. That's the kind of reputation he has. And funny thing about Willie's guitar is, if you look at it, it's got all these names carved into it. And before we saw the guitar, we thought they were like Merle Haggard and, you know, all these great, Conway Twitty and all these great. And it was literally, the names are like Ed, Dave, and it's the names of his roadies and his buddies and just the guys he hangs with. He has a car. And I love that part. I thought that was so funny.
Like Willie's roadies, these are the people who work offstage to help musicians get the sound they want out of their instruments. Ransom walks me out of the building area, back into real guitars. He says there's nothing quite like the sound of a music store.
No orchestration to it. It's like three or four people playing all kinds of different stuff, and it almost never blends together, and you just don't find that in music anywhere else.
In San Francisco, I'm True Gwynn for Cross Currents.
Oh, really?
So, unfortunately, no one guessed it right this time. But we'll be back with another audiograph clue soon. Thanks for listening, and thanks for playing.
Thanks, Nina. The rest of our Cross Currents team includes Marisol Medina Cadena, Angela Johnston, Stephen Short, Andrew Stelzer, Bo Walsh, and Josh Wilson. Our engineers are Jackie Sajiko, Gabe Graben, and James Rowlands. The line producer is Hannah Kingsley Ma. Our managing editor is Jen Chien. Ben Trefney is our news director. Our opening theme music is by the John Santos Quintet. Today's local music is by an a cappella ensemble called Sovo So. Sovo So will perform at Freight and Salvage in Berkeley on Monday. For Cross Currents, I'm Hannah Baba. Ba-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-da-